I have power here. My clarity is my power. My ability to realign is my power. Welcome to the Soul Sourced Podcast, unconventional business advice for the highly creative, secretly sensitive, and wildly ambitious entrepreneur. I'm your host, Christine Kane. Let's do this. Welcome, my friends. This is episode number 63 of the Soul Sourced Podcast, and we are going to talk about money today, which is always something that makes me nervous because it's such a tense topic. But this was motivated and inspired by a question I got from one of my members of our community called Uplevel Cafe. And you can find out more about that at uplevelcafe.com. But this question, and I already warned the sender of the question that I might make a podcast of it because we just had our November Zoom coaching call as a group. We're a small group, but I covered the questions, and she sent this question in the next day. So I didn't want to wait till the December call, and I went ahead and I just said, I'm gonna turn this into a question that I bring to the podcast, but I think it's a really important topic. And this comes from Sally, and Sally has a very successful and profitable professional cleaning business. And I've watched her because she's been in the cafe for a while, and I've watched her go in and out of different mindsets and ups and downs, and she's really learning and very, very committed, I might say. And so this question, I think a lot of you probably have something similar around money and all of the traumas that we each have experienced in our lives around money, and then we go to try to make a business out of it. And it suddenly feels like we just cannot overcome some of the mindsets that we have about money. So what Sally wrote was, what I most want coaching on is understanding my mental dislike of making a profit. I have a lot of fear and stress surrounding finance from childhood. She apparently had parents who had physical arguments about money. And then my first marriage, where I was a trophy wife, and any conversation around money management always ended in verbal fights, feeding my fear of finance conversations. I know I'm very capable of making a wonderfully profitable business, but I struggle to convince myself that it's okay to do that. I feel like I'm fighting with myself as I move forward, and my brain wants to play small, but I don't want to give in to that anymore. So I have a few different places I want to go with this, but we're just going to sort of break it into three parts so that we can take in such a tender topic and really take the time to examine this question and our own relationship with this thing called money. So first off, whenever I'm coaching somebody, I think it's really important to look at the context around the question. Because the first thing I want to say is, when you post a question like this, when anyone puts anything out there, it's really important to look at the language and explore what's really going on here. And this is for you if you are writing in your journal or if you're doing the Sunday Summit. It's why when I teach something like the Sunday Summit, and for those of you who are new to the podcast, that's a tool that I teach my clients, and I did a free round of them. We all got together every Sunday in August, so a lot of people are familiar with it, and I apologize if I'm assuming you know what that means. But the idea of doing the Sunday Summit is that you start to become in relationship with yourself and with your business once every week, and you begin to write down the things that are challenging you. You write down the stuff that's up for you. And the better you can articulate that, the clearer you can be with that, the better you get at self-coaching, which is an important element of being a business owner. So the thing I see here, Sally, with this question is the idea that you're saying, I want to understand my mental dislike of making a profit. Okay, so first off, what I want to say about this is, every one of us tends to approach a problem where our minds or our egos, we like to think that once we know why something happens, then our mind and our ego can fix that problem. And that is the ultimate lie that we tell ourselves. Now, make no mistake, understanding, self-understanding, and understanding a little bit around the whys of things, like the whole why behind it, can help a tiny little bit. But none of us has ever solved a problem at that mental level, because all the mind does is that it just creates a constant reel of, oh, why do I do this? And, oh, it's because of this. And why do I do that? Oh, it's because of that. And I don't necessarily think that understanding it is going to be the key to overcoming and healing this thing that you're describing, your mental dislike of making a profit. And that's the other thing I'm going to go to, is I'm going to sort of call out, like, I don't know if we're naming the challenge, because I don't actually believe that a mental dislike, like if you turned around and in the next month you realized you made a $10,000 profit, I doubt you would be like, ugh, I'm disgusting. I hate this. I think that actually what's really happening here is that there are mental projections going on and ideas. I call it making movies. And we just sit there and drown ourselves in our thoughts about things and our fears about things. And what I'm really seeing here is just, it's a plain old, everyday, all of us have it, fear around money. We have fear around handling money. We have fear around standing in our power when we're charging money. We have fear around actually making the offer. And we also have a lot of fear as entrepreneurs. I know you're not supposed to have this fear, but we fear people hating us because we're successful, all of that stuff. And so I don't necessarily think that it is a mental dislike of when you have made a profit. It's actually just this idea of you have resistance to money. And guess what? All of us. Actually, I'm going to say anyone who listens to this podcast most likely, or has read my book most likely, has stuff around money. But I also think that all of us probably have stuff around money. And that's where my book, I will reiterate, it's called The Soul Sourced Entrepreneur. And the subtitle of the book is An Unconventional Success Plan for the Highly Creative, Secretly Sensitive, and Wildly Ambitious. And what's weird is that you have that weird contrast between I'm wildly ambitious, but secretly sensitive. And so that's where a lot of the tensions around being seen, making a profit, making money come up, and they feel like they should not be there. But I want to read a little tiny section from that book that, the whole entire book is really about getting over your fear of making money. I mean, it kind of is, because money and power are very intertwined. And most of us, when we start a business, we don't realize how deeply we're going to have to come into a relationship with our own, I'm going to call it power, but it's our own energy. It's our own stuff. And money is just one of those highly charged topics that most of us have been beaten with, teased about, shamed about. And we all have different skill sets when it comes to numbers and data and money. And most of us in the secretly sensitive world, we have stuffed all our crap around money. So I want to just illustrate something around this idea of power. And it's a little section. It's on page 108 for those of you who have the book. But it's how power gets lost and found. And this is the story of somebody who is dealing with her own fears around money. And so it's a client named Margaret. And we all start every year off, and that's why it's really fun to talk about this right now, but we often start our year off with our money intention, like what we want to make. And in Uplevel, we call it our commitment to Uplevel. But it starts off with this client named Margaret, and it says Margaret had initiated her intention for the year to make $125,000 in business revenue, twice what she had ever made. And I know for some of you, that's a lot. And for some of you, that's, you know, piddly. And that's fine. This is where Margaret was at. So Margaret was fired up, but it meant raising her prices, which made her feel sick. She dreaded rejection. So all of us have different ways that we have our money issues come up. In Margaret's case, it was the rejection. It was the judgment of actually charging more money. Still, she stood in the power of her intention and made the changes, at least on paper. Less than a week later, she came face to face with her first opportunity to take her new rates for a spin. A local business reached out and set up a get acquainted call with Margaret. On the call, she went through her sales process. She created a relationship with the CEO. He was excited. And then the big moment came. She walked through the features and benefits of her services, showing him how her customized operating systems would save time and remove frustration for him and his whole team. And then she revealed her new pricing structure. Silence. Margaret knew she should allow the silence, the tension, to be there. But after what seemed like forever, she couldn't handle it. Before she knew it, she heard herself say, "Or I could always just..." And then she heard herself offer a discount. A big one, which, of course, he jumped on. Margaret's trigger was silence. It started a wave of fear. Fear of judgment. Fear of loss. Ultimately, the fear determined her fee, not her, not her intention. And when Margaret hung up the phone, instead of being excited about a new client, she was depressed. Yet again, she would be doing too many hours of work for too little money. When we unconsciously hand our power over to someone or some circumstance, we're usually trying to avoid pain or discomfort. "Please be my client. I'll lower my prices. Will you approve of me then?" And that's when we step out of alignment with our intention and we get lost in an old power-draining pattern. But we can use our intention to retrieve our power. It starts with awareness, calling to mind our intention, and then honestly weighing whether or not our actions or reactions align with our intention. Awareness allows us to reclaim the moment and choose an intention-congruent response. So, then we go on to the next little section here. I'm going to have to turn the page, so that's the noise you're hearing. Once Margaret consciously recognized the phone silence as the trigger that caused her to hand over her power, she got strategic. She planned in advance how she could be present during that pain. She even scripted answers to typical objections, and she practiced them. She also decided that her new win would be to allow the silence. This helped her not obsess about getting the sale. A few weeks later, she was on another Get Acquainted call. She explained how she worked and stated her fees, and then she stopped talking. The inevitable silence came, along with her inevitable self-deprecating thoughts. "I'm overpriced. I'm a fraud, and he knows it. He hates me." The tension was almost unbearable, but this time she stayed with it. She remembered her intention, and that silence was not the enemy. When the prospect finally spoke, he said, "I'll be honest with you, that's much more than I thought it'd be. Do you have anything cheaper?" At this point, Margaret wanted to say, "Cheaper? Of course I have something cheaper. Are you kidding me? How about free? Would that work?" She saw herself reaching through the phone and wrapping her arms around the man's ankles, begging him not to reject her. But she took a deep breath, and as she had rehearsed in her head, she asked her inner drama queen to chill out for a bit, and finally, when she was ready, she recited her script. "I agree with you. I am priced at a premium, but that's because I provide such a high level of service. So no, I don't offer cheaper packages." Miracle of miracles, she didn't apologize. More painful silence. She breathed just like she practiced. After what seemed like forever, he said, "Okay, let's do it. I want to make this happen." This time, Margaret hung up the phone elated, not because of the new client, and not because of the money, almost triple her old prices, but because she had gotten her big win. She lived through the silence. She'd experienced her ability to break through a power-deflating pattern that had operated in the background since she had started this business. These are the big victories. We've been conditioned to believe that as entrepreneurs, we should all be bungee jumping out of our fears or patterns or busting through a finish line with confetti raining down and raucous cheering. But calling our power back is often a deeply silent experience. Margaret didn't headbutt anyone as she shifted this pattern. And I'm not going to read the rest because it goes into other stuff that was in the book and refers to other things that you might not understand if you haven't read the book. But the point is, we don't get over our patterns because we understand them. We get over our patterns because we work with them. We spot our triggers. We understand in that moment. And so the thing about this question that Sally's asking here is that I want to understand my mental dislike of making a profit. The disappointing thing is that we think it's our understanding, we think it's knowing why, but anyone who's ever had an addiction, anyone who's ever done anything, you can understand it till the cows come home and you still won't get over it. And that brings me to point number two. That was all point number one. I know that was long and rambly, but we're now getting to point number two. Thank God she's moved on. But I'm going to just use point number two to remind you of the entire premise of my whole book. And that is that this is the opposite, by the way, of what most business strategists are going to tell you. Most business coaches and strategists will line up this list of things. If you want to start a business, here's what you got to be like. You got to have a plan. You got to have data. You got to like numbers. You got to, you know, there's all these rules for who you have to be in order to be a successful business owner. And they're just, I think it's bullshit, because most of my clients and me, they didn't start out with all of this stuff. They started out with an idea, and unknowingly and naively, they stepped into the zone of having a business. And then lo and behold, it's like, oh shit, I have a lot of stuff to get over. Well, guess what? And that's the premise of my book, that your business, whatever enterprise you have chosen to build, is the territory or the playground, if you prefer that word, of your soul's growth. Now, I don't pretend to know what that means. I don't pretend to know what a soul is. You could just substitute soul for personal growth. But I happen to believe that things are deeper than just our ego and our personality. I really think that when we get an idea to start a business, it's almost like the angels around us, the heavens around us say, awesome, great, we've got some work to do. And our work comes out as that business grows and as things trigger us and as we are, you know, claiming to have this intention to make more money. Well, we have to expand into that intention. It's not just, oh, you want a business? Great, here it is. You don't have to change at all. All of us, we all want change, but none of us want to change. And that's one of the key things. And so what that means in terms of a question around money is that whatever needs to be healed in order for your intention to manifest is going to come up to be healed. And that's what I mean by the term soul sourced. Everyone I've ever been interviewed by on podcasts, they all want to know what soul sourced means. And so what I tell them is that it's that our businesses are these custom made expansion fields for us so that we can start to let these lessons bubble up. You set an intention and anything unlike that intention is going to come up. And so, like, it's funny, this weekend, a New York Times article came out, and it's about career coaching these days, and it says, forget the corporate ladder and find yourself. And the whole focus of this article is that career coaching is really more about the soul of each person. I don't think they say it like that, but it's about the soul of each person and really understanding who you are and having that self-awareness. And so when it comes to money in business and having a business and being an entrepreneur, all of those things are going to come up and they are custom made for your own expansion. And yes, you do need to understand them a little bit, but in the situation like with Margaret, what she started to see was that it was not just about the money, it was about her power and her relationship with power. And what it all is calling us to do is to lean in and really own that this is really about your relationship with money, your relationship with your power, your relationship with your clarity, and being able to unflinchingly see that and be aware of it. And instead of hiding in a corner and saying, why am I so fucked up? And how come I have such an issue with money? And that's what keeps us stuck in the pattern. But what we're doing is we're really watching the pattern. We're really trying to break that pattern. That brings me to point number three. And what I want to do with the little last few minutes we have here is speak to, and I'm kind of just going to riff here because I don't have any kind of notes or outline of what exactly I want to talk about. But when it comes to money, it's been a really big thing I've worked with, I'm going to say hundreds, if not thousands of clients at this point, but obviously I don't get close with thousands of people, but I've been very close with hundreds of people over time. And I've seen a commonality in this culture that we live in, where money is this desired and hated and freaked out kind of a thing. And so I'm going to just share a few things that I've noticed when it comes to healing the relationship with money, with charging money, with standing in your power with money. And the first thing I'm going to say is that for me, and I'm betting for my clients as well, is that it really does help to find a way to get either a coach or a mastermind or some group of people where you can share successes. Like, for instance, this week, one of my clients just got $15,000 for, I know this is going to sound crazy for some of you, but she got $15,000 to teach two vision board workshops. And a lot of you know I have a program called Vision Board Pro. I think it's still up there. We haven't been selling it for a while because of pandemic and everything, but I think it's at getvisionboardpro.com. Getvisionboardpro.com. And she just posted in our Facebook group that she just got $7,500 for each one of these workshops. And that seems, for some of you, that might seem like, if you go and you tell your friends that you just got paid this much, your friends might be like, you just got paid to lay down some poster boards. And this is a corporate environment she got invited to do this at. And again, it speaks to that New York Times article, because people are looking for more, you know, inner awareness and abundance and behaviors and actions that are really, really geared towards each human being in the corporation. And so vision boards sort of match that, which is why a vision board workshop, I think, is not abnormal anymore in corporate. But this client, I'm going to call her Patricia. I didn't ask her if I could talk about her here, but she was able to post in our group her victory. Everyone's high-fiving. They're celebrating. And it becomes less of a stigma to make money. And I've had people stand in, when we do our masterminds, when we celebrate stuff, we stand in the fact that we are able to celebrate making money for what we do. And that sounds like, oh, no big deal. I should be able to tell my friends. But when you know, get your first $15,000 client, or when you get your first $2,500 client, I'm betting if you've never been around a lot of entrepreneurs and you just walk over to your neighbor or tell an acquaintance or a friend, hey, I just made $15,000, or hey, I just made, you know, I got my first $20,000 client, I raised my prices, or I, you know, whatever it might be, you're probably not going to get the big high five unless that person is a very successful entrepreneur who has been encouraging you all along and loves that about yourself. And a lot of us, we expect for an entire paradigm shift to happen in our mindset, but we don't surround ourselves with people or other entrepreneurs who want our success just as much as they want their success. And that's really important. So to that end, I really can't recommend some kind of coaching environment or success environment or mastermind environment where you are encouraged to get over these things, to charge more. And when I say charging more, I don't mean you just slap on a new price tag and go out there and shout it to the rooftops. There are strategies involved to it. But there are a lot of people who get really triggered when you say, I want to make more money. I want to be able to be more successful. They hate it. They hate people who make money. Our world is set up to bring down people who make money and trash people who make money. If you write a book and it doesn't do all that well, no one cares. But then you write a book that's a bestseller, like, you know, whatever, 4-Hour Work Week or whoever it is, then suddenly everyone hates you, as if you set off to go be rich and damn you. we just have a really messed up relationship with money. So surrounding yourself with people who can encourage that, because that, guess what? That helps you start to break patterns. And I don't mean it's just the pattern of the big win with the money thing. But in Sally's case, it might be, I stood in my power when I charged money, or I was able to go and look at my books this month or this week with my bookkeeper, and I didn't get all freaked out. Second thing I want to say, and this is for the really super sensitive and maybe some of the newbies out there, and I'm going to harken back to my days as a musician And even sometimes now, I'm going to say it, I don't enjoy doing the books and looking at all the numbers and having all the financials and all those meetings that you have to have. I really highly recommend that you, when you're doing your financials, for those of you who have done Uplevel Your Life, you know I have something in Uplevel Your Life. I call it the checkbook ritual. But all that is that it is using the power of intention before you do anything with money. A lot of us, we start off our new year, we have some big goal. I'm going to make $700,000 this year, by God. And then we forget the power of intention. And this is why I recommend doing something like the Sunday Summit or some kind of practice so that you stay in alignment with an intention throughout your year. I have this little expression I teach my clients called QMWD, which is quarterly, monthly, weekly, daily. And the idea being that you step into awareness and into intention and into some sort of intentionality, not just at the beginning of a year, but at the beginning of every quarter, at the beginning of every month, at the beginning of every week, and each day. And what that means is that when you sit down, let's say you have a bookkeeper, you have an accountant, and you have to do your financials, whenever that is for you, and it's a ritual, but don't just slam yourself in it after a hard day when you're in your worst of your worst, or in Sally's case, she's going into her old patterns with her parents, or she's remembering being beat up or whatever it is, mentally, emotionally abused, and she's going, you know, you're in your patterns. Don't just toss yourself into a meeting with your bookkeeper in that moment. The checkbook ritual, the financial ritual, means that you sit down. If you've had a tough day, you do not do that meeting then, unless it's like, this is when we have to do it and I have no choice. You do not hop on that call, that Zoom, that situation, unless until you have taken 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. And you go into an intention. I do that before every meeting I have with clients. I do that before every podcast. I do an intention for the awakeness, awareness, and abundance of everybody who listens. Like, I don't just slam myself into things. And it's the same with finances. Before any kind of meeting, before any kind of payments, payouts, whatever you're doing, you realign with your intention, you realign with who you are, and you call your power back to you. And if you don't know what that means, then go get my book, The Soul Sourced Entrepreneur. If you've forgotten that segment, go read the entire second section of the book, Managing Your Power. There's a whole ritual of calling your power back. And that means in Sally's case, she calls it back from her ex-husband. She calls it back from her parents. And she remembers, I am an entrepreneur. I have power here. My clarity is my power. My ability to realign is my power. And bringing that intention before you do anything with money is going to help start to heal that relationship with money. My next little thing is going to be a little bit about my own story with that. And I invented things like the checkbook ritual because as a musician, this is the kind of stuff I had to do. I feel like I sort of like shut my eyes and blocked myself every time I had to deal with money because I was like terrified. My family history is that I did not have a supportive parental unit. They mean well. I do not blame them, but they were, you know, tried and true 9-to-5ers. They did not have an entrepreneurial bone in their body. I have made them all do Colbys. I am the only one who has a quick start above a 5 in my family. And for those of you who know what Colbys are, I've said I was going to do a podcast at some point about Colbys, and I might. But like, I don't come from an entrepreneurial family, and so I had to like learn this on my own. And that speaks to that idea of any of those business coaches and strategists out there who say, here's how you have to be in order to have a business. And I'm like, yeah, well, no, that wasn't how I was. But to that end, I had to do a lot of healing and a lot of reassessing and a lot of work around money. And that was around charging money, around being seen, around raising my prices. Every time I raised my prices as a musician, there would be pushback because I was in the folk world, the coffee house world. And there's a lot of, to refer to my book, a lot of Statue of Liberty businesses out there in the music world, which is like, we don't pay our musicians because we're all broken together. And we all believe that we should not charge a lot and the musician shouldn't charge a lot. We all, you know, no one should make money. And when you start to step out of that, and like when I first said, I'm not going to play in bars anymore, I had to walk through a fire every time I said, I'm not going to play in bars anymore. I'm only going to do this kind of venue. And I'm only going to go out for this much money. Every time I did that, I had to walk through this little fire of people judging it, someone rejecting me. So, you know, it not working. And it's always that thing of like the story of Margaret where you want to run back. Like you want to run back to your old paradigm because at least it was safe there. At least people liked you there. At least you were comfortable there. And anytime I grew in any way, I had to like face the part of me that wanted to scurry back to the old ways of being. Like when I incorporated and I had to, you know, this was back before you had all these easy ways of incorporating. And I'm in the room with my accountant and my lawyer, and we had all these giant red binders with freaking like embossing tools. And I'm sitting in these cold, horrible offices, and I'm in this musician, and I'm going, who am I to be in this room? I just wanted to run back. And these were all these instances around business operations, business success, business finances. And I always felt small, and I had to constantly move forward in spite of feeling small. And the point of this is that I made it a huge intention once I started realizing that pattern to say, I'm really going to take myself seriously as a business owner because that is the only way I am ever going to grow in this fear I have around money and this playing small I have around money. And so I invested in myself. I paid for coaching a lot. I have paid in some years over $100,000 a year in coaching. I have probably paid $1 million or more in coaching, events that I've gone to, trainings I've learned. Like this entrepreneurial thing, this business thing is not something many of us were wired to do, myself included. And so I've looked at it as an investment in growth. And I've had to learn how to market, how to message, how to do all this stuff, and how to charge money. Now, that doesn't mean you have to start off by saying, holy shit, I've got to pay millions. No, you don't. I started off with a coach and I read a lot of books and I absorbed. I read everything. Like I read Susie Orman, I read Dave Ramsey, I read Dan Kennedy. And I will say Dan Kennedy was one of my very first aha kind of people. Like his books on business, I know that he is a radically different human from me, but I have this ability to be able to absorb. One of the gifts of being empathic, for those of you who are sensitive, is that you can take it and feel horrible about it, but you can also kind of absorb like, huh, what is the energy of this person? Like, what is the energy of, he? You know, someone like a Dan Kennedy doesn't, he has that little bit of shaminess about him with people who can't handle money, but he also just kind of looks at money neutrally. Like, what does that feel like? And I started to just kind of say, curiosity, what does this feel like? And then I would ask people things like I remember at one point my friend Abby, who is, you know, she doesn't work. She doesn't have to because she's done so much with her, you know, real estate investments and things like that. And I just one time I sat down and I said, can you tell me like how you did this? And she was so excited to open up because she grew up poverty stricken and she set an intention and she talked about all the attitudes that she had to shift in herself. And I realized people really love to talk about their own growth. And I just looked at it as a mission to get over all of this brokenness and all of my attitudes and this whole thing of like people who have money are bad and all of that kind of stuff. And yes, there are people who are greedy and horrible and do terrible things with it, but that doesn't mean that you have to be. And it doesn't mean that if you charge a premium amount of money that you are a bad person. What I have learned over and over again is that when we serve our business, like when our business supports us and we do things where we are really living up to the premium prices we charge, we start to realize, this is a service. All of this is a service. And when I own my power and stand in my power, then I am able to serve at a higher level. And I am able to feel serve myself by my business. And then the whole system works better. And that's how I've done it, is that I really made it an intention to heal. But just like Margaret, and just like that example, anyone who's been in a 12-step program, the example of the guy who walks down the street and falls in the hole, and then he walks down the street and falls in the hole, and then he tries not to fall in the hole, and then he walks around the hole, and then he eventually walks down another street. I want to close this by saying I've been in business. I have not had a job since the early 90s. I started, you know, as a musician, and I have learned this, and this is, you know, 20 plus years of doing this, and I've had a lot of opportunities, very hard opportunities, to land on my ass, to do like Margaret, where, you know, I've done the discount thing, I've done the falling apart thing, I've fallen prey to the opinions of others. I've gone through all of that stuff, and I still am learning and growing just like anybody. And so the thing I would leave you with to answer Sally's question is that in every question I get like this, there is this slight little thing that says, I don't want to feel this way anymore. I don't want to have this thing anymore. I don't want to be this fucked up person anymore. But the thing is, the good news is that this is here for your expansion. This is here for your growth. And understanding it is only one part of it. At some point, you've got to take that understanding and you've got to move into the body. And you've got to do the experience of charging more, of being uncomfortable, of having people not like you, of making a mistake, of not making a profit, of asking yourself why the profit didn't happen, and really looking at it, like really being present. It's the entire premise of the soul-sourced entrepreneur is I'm in. Like that's, I don't just say these things because they're kicky and cute. I'm in is the framework of the book. And so you being who you are in your business means that you, with all the stuff you bring into your business, it's up for the healing of it. And that's the really cool thing about it. And that's how I teach every single thing I do, is that you are going to bring what needs to grow and expand to your business territory. And the more present you can be, the more intentional you can be, and the more aware you can be, and the more awake you can be with all the things that come up, the better it gets. Not because suddenly you're a millionaire, but because of who you become. And then who you become means that no matter what, you're never going to fall on your ass without being able to get back up again. And so I know this is a long-winded answer to what seemed like a very quick, simple question, but it's one of my favorite topics. And I think the less we are frightened of money, and the more we are all able to talk about it, the better this entire journey gets as entrepreneurs. And for those of you who want to check out Uplevel Cafe, it's at uplevelcafe.com. I think I also mentioned Vision Board Pro. That's at getvisionboardpro.com. I think that's still up. But in the meantime, thank you guys for listening. And I love that question. And for those of you who are at Uplevel Cafe, we'll be doing our next Zoom call, and you can do follow-ups if you want there. And I will see you guys next time here on the Soul Sourced Business Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Still I see you try to persuade, and I just can't afford to try no more. You've told me what you're wishing for, told you when my wishes end.